Now with the country talking more about systemic racism and its lasting effects, one example comes from the history of UW-Oshkosh. In 1968-94, African-American students petitioned the school's president for a more diverse staff and curriculum. Those demands were rejected. After a sit-in, the students were arrested and later expelled. Our next guest says the effects of that decision are still being felt today, and the school needs to do more to make things right for those students and their families. Rajon Lynch, also known as RJ the Magician, is a Racine native and a graduate of UW-Oshkosh. He's now the director of the Houdini Museum of New York. He started a petition to highlight this story from 1968. Rajon, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, how's it going? Am I clear? Can you hear me?
We hear you loud and clear, Rajon. How did you first become aware of these events in 1968 that came to be known as Black Thursday?
Well, I actually took a class at UW-Oshkosh, and a lot of the classes have this requirement, or the teachers have the option to teach a class about Black Thursday and kind of about the repercussions of it and about, like, you know, I took a rhetoric class, so specifically about, like, the communication and the rhetoric of the time and the lasting effects of it.
And you researched this and the students involved. What can you tell us some about who these students were and what they encountered on campus?
Well, they were just normal students, like, I guess, like me, but they were Black, like me, back in 1968. And they were the first students to really be allowed at UW-Oshkosh or in the UW system in general, because the government said that schools, in order to get funding, had to integrate. So they really kind of searched for these Black students. And that was kind of the start of how they got there. But if you read a lot of their writings, which are actually archived at UW-Oshkosh, and again, I'm lucky that I got a chance to be in this class because not every teacher or professor had to teach this. But when you start to read their writings, they talk about how they were, like, spit at, how they were called monkeys, all these different, like, you know, typical things. But it really, the main thing was when they were expelled.
And also, they encountered some of them. There was an official, a bursar or something, who refused to give them their financial aid checks.
You know, I'm not actually sure about that.
I thought I'd see that.
Something I don't know about exactly. But there's a lot of things that contributed to it. Mainly, they wanted, you know, African American professors. They wanted equal treatment. They wanted African American history classes. You know, I don't know all the details of exactly what they wanted because I wasn't there. But I look into it as much as I can.
Now, what did they demand from the school's administration at the time?
Well, yeah, like I said, they wanted specifically African-American teachers, they wanted African-American history classes, they wanted representation, and they wanted to be treated like everybody else. And the school wasn't really a conducive place for that, allowing that environment, but they also just, when they wanted to be heard, I don't even think the chancellor at the time was willing to talk to them. They weren't even, like, you know, they sat in the office, they waited, and the chancellor was like, we don't even want to talk to you. And that's what really caused them to bubble up. And actually, they did do a protest. And again, we're always talking about peaceful protests. And they did a peaceful protest. They weren't being heard. So that's when they started to get angry. And they caused very minimal damage to the offices by, like, flipping desks and things like that. But they the school hyperinflated the amount of damage they did. They called the police on them and hauled them off in U-Haul trucks like animals. And they sent them to jail and banned them from ever stepping foot on the campus for, like, 30 years.
Talking to Rajon Lynch, he's a graduate of UW-Oshkosh, and he's drawing attention to a story on UW-Oshkosh's campus from back in 1968, where 94 African-American students ended up being expelled after protesting their treatment there. I want to give a listen to something that happened in the weeks after the students' cases were being considered in court, the Board of Regents deciding their academic future. Some of the parents of the students met with University President Roger Giles. Here's a listen to Francis Graham of Milwaukee talking to him in front of reporters.
We, as the parents, are requesting that our children be allowed to attend class until their cases are disposed of in court. All of them are not guilty of the offenses charged, and they should not be punished. Can you comment on that, please?
I would say that the subject is now before the Board of Regents. The Board of Regents will, I'm sure, move as quickly as possible to make whatever disposition of the cases they can.
Well, they ultimately then, as we've said, expelled 94 students. Can you talk a little bit about, Rajon, the impact that expulsion had on some of these students?
Well, you know, a lot of them, when you get expelled from a school, you can kind of see this in modern day, it makes it very hard to go to another school. And usually it's for bad reasons, but they, again, just wanted to be treated like people. So they couldn't go to a lot of different schools. A lot of schools wouldn't accept them. And a lot of schools weren't, like, UW-Oshkosh is relatively open to this. A lot of people wouldn't accept extra black students to the school, and especially people who have been expelled. So a lot of them ended up going to UW-Milwaukee, which accepted them, but not all of them could. And some of them, you know, this is their first chance, their only time. It's hard to get money. They lost their scholarship. So a lot of them had to go to not even go to UW-Milwaukee. A lot of them just had to drop out of school completely. So the thing that I'm essentially arguing is that the average person makes $1 million more in their lifetime, according to a lot of studies on the internet that you can find, and from going to college. So I'm arguing that if it's been two generations since then, my grandparents' age, I'm 24, so that's $2 million of wealth that's missing from a family. And that's directly because of UW Oshkosh, or the wage gap in Wisconsin for college graduates to non-college graduates today is about 61%, which is one of the lowest in the country. So that's it's just very tangible. It's very real that this is something that happened. So when my friends or people that was before this time, when they were like, you know, your parents just didn't work hard enough, that's why they didn't go to college. Your grandparents just didn't. My parents are immigrants. It's like, no. They got kicked out, and this wasn't the only time this happened. Things like this happened, and even if it didn't get kicked out, it would ruin the taste of working so hard just to have what other people have. And that's my point that I'm making.
And you've got a petition going now. What are you hoping to see from UW Oshkosh now in 2020?
Well, UW Oshkosh and schools in general are going through a lot of funding problems. So what I don't want to happen is for people to blame this for coming for their money. But what I do want is for them to set aside a certain chunk of money for people my age and younger who had these grandparents specifically, like grandparents or a relative that they can point to and say, I didn't get to go to college, or I don't have money to go to college because my grandparents got kicked out. And I want those kids to be able to go to UW Oshkosh and have funding, and for UW Oshkosh to make this right, because they have a lot of ceremonies and they give medals and they'll invite the ones back that want to come back, but it's not tangible and it's not monetary. And because these families are missing money specifically due to UW Oshkosh, I want them to put some money into some kind of fund for these students to choose to go if they want to. And I also want specifically UW Oshkosh to, the motto that we're saying right now is defund the police, because they have two police stations within half a mile of UW Oshkosh, one on campus and one off campus. And the one on campus has 15 police officers currently on the roster, at least online, that's what it says. But I didn't know it's around 15 police officers. So if they even cut one police officer, specifically Officer T. Morgan is someone that has a lot of complaints about him, especially like race-related complaints. If they just cut one, that would be a lot of funding for a student to be able, or multiple students, to be able to go to UW Oshkosh for a subsidized amount because of this incident that happened and changed a generation.
And as we wrap up, you feel a connection with these students all at UW Oshkosh. You stumbled on another connection. One of the Oshkosh 94, Henry Brown Jr., had a family connection to someone in your field now of magic. Can you tell us that story?
Yeah. Well, so this isn't a new thing for me. I've always written about the history of black magicians. I'm currently working on a TV show about the history of black magicians, and this has been something I'm very vocal about because I think it represents the black community and the struggles we've had with entertainment. And specifically, I was reading it, and I saw the name Henry Brown. And I write about a guy named Henry Box Brown that was a slave that escaped freedom by shipping himself from Virginia to Philadelphia, and two white people that essentially helped him escape and become a magician for the rest of his life. And he's super famous, but no one knows his story. And it's very ironic. But I was reading this, and I thought, Henry Brown, that looks familiar. Like, I've written about Henry Box Brown, what if? And I read his story, I read his writings, and he talks about how he was from Milwaukee, and he talks about how he got his name from a potential, he thinks, because he can't trace it, because these things are hard to trace, but he thinks he got his name because he's a junior from his father, Henry Brown, who also got his name from the freed slave, Henry Box Brown. And he talks about how he didn't know much about him, but he thinks that that's where he got his name from. And I thought this was too much of a coincidence, because I've been writing about Brown for the last, like, 4 years, and I talk about him all the time. So when I saw this, I was like, I think this is something I'm meant to do.
Rajan, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
And one more thing, if I can. The petition is at change.org/Oshkosh68, so like 1968. So change.org/Oshkosh68. Please sign it. It'll go right to the chancellor, and I'm really trying to get this shared as much as possible.
Thanks again to Rajan Lynch, also known as RJ the Magician. He's a UW Oshkosh graduate, director now of the Houdini Museum in New York. He talked with us about the expulsion of 94 black students at UW Oshkosh back in 1968 and what he's hoping to see from the school today.